Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
The Senate Judiciary Committee. It all starts to kick off the week. Amy Coney Barrett, will she be the next Supreme? I'd say it's pretty much a done deal, even though the Democrats are hoping to defeat that nomination, looking at the Catholicism of her background, pro-life views, and especially the proximity to the election, but it is a numbers game. So that confirmation hearing begins, and there will be a push. Will it be cantankerous? Will she get knotted up with some of the questions that will center around her faith and how much that plays into what she believes legally? The opening statements will start on Monday morning. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, I hope you had a fabulous weekend, whatever it was that you did. I think a lot of people are grilling out because in my neighborhood, it is very much like you are walking down in a block party, but it's their own party, private party with their families in the backyard because you smell all of the different aromas, which is good. That means people are hanging out in the bubble, social distancing, that kind of thing, because we see what happens when you don't do that. We'll talk about the latest with the COVID numbers and what's happened since that White House event and some other things that are going on, too, as well. But I think so much of the focus is going to be on the president's pick to replace Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and who has the upper hand. And clearly, I'll say this again, and everybody certainly knows this, including the Democrats, that this is who he's picked. And you look at the other nominations, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and now this would be the third, Amy Coney Barrett. And I don't see this not happening. By the way, because this is a trivia question, why not throw it out? George Washington holds the record for the most Supreme Court nominations. Gee, I wonder why. 14 nominations, 12 were confirmed. So 12 were confirmed. Bottom line is this was an issue in the VP debate. This will be an issue, I'm sure, in the upcoming presidential debate, whether that happens or not, because there's the argument about the virtual idea of it on the 15th and what happened with the president getting COVID and bouncing back from that, and should there be another presidential debate or not. And again, that remains to be seen. The commission has said that they want to cancel the 15th. They're going to cancel the 15th. But does that completely annihilate the last presidential debate? So if there is no debate on the 15th and that avoids the whole virtual idea, the virtual town hall, all of that, could there still be another one? The idea that, you know, boy, just 48 hours after debating Joe Biden in person in Cleveland, the president catching the virus or falling ill with the virus, and even though they were a dozen feet apart during that debate, I think it sparked too many health concerns and, led to this back and forth of virtual, what's going to happen. You know, the president said he wouldn't participate in a virtual debate, so I think that pretty much was, all right, we're going to call the 15th, but what does that mean for the last presidential debate? Is there a possibility of that happening? And it's so close to the election. But the second one, off the books, officially off the books. How about that? Not off the books, though, is what we were talking about here at the top when we kicked it off about the Senate pushing on with the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett and looking at her background. She's a circuit judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Court. This was, I think, where the president was mostly leaning. He had a short list, from what I understand, but this was, she was number one on the list. She was being considered before, so that just kind of moved her up. And the fact that, you know, she was nominated by the president to the Court of Appeals, and then that happened, and now moving forward with this, I can see where there will be questions. I can see where there may be some back and forth and looking at some selected cases that she was involved in, especially anything related to immigration, anything related to abortion, although she's never ruled directly on abortion. But she did vote to rehear a successful challenge to Indiana's parental notification law in 2019. And in 2018, she voted against striking down another Indiana law requiring burial or cremation of fetal remains. And in both cases, she voted with the minority. So I think there will be others that will be dug up and whatnot in going through the process that you go through with this nomination, but I don't think it's going to be anything like Brett Kavanaugh, certainly nothing like what we saw with Kavanaugh, which was a whole different ball of wax with the accusations of sexual misconduct and what had happened in his past, and then ultimately he gets approved and he is serving as a justice, as you all know. I don't think it will be anything like that. It will get certainly lots of attention. I mean, this is a lifetime appointment, so it should get a lot of attention, and it will, but it will be nothing like that. All right, coronavirus, 215,000 people have died of the virus. That's out of 7.79 million cases in the U.S. If we look to our friends across the globe, a big shout out to all of you who often spend time with me in Author's Corner. 26 million, by the way, worldwide have recovered. Deaths, 1.8 million. Total cases worldwide, 37.4 million. 37.4 million. And we're seeing that more precautions are being taken in some other countries who are obviously, just like the U.S., concerned about the economy, what's happening economically, but seeing they don't want to have a huge outbreak, they want to squash it. And the conversation is about social distancing, wearing masks, vaccines, who will take a vaccine, what happens, and where do we go from there. Wow. It's crazy to think that we are so close to November 3rd, isn't it? Wow, 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 wow. The polls are all over the place, and the big push, the battleground state, is Pennsylvania. Tons of money is being spent there by both the Republicans and the Democrats, and the president is said to be traveling there at least six more times before the election. His family is fanning out and covering the state, as is Joe Biden. They may even run into each other at a pancake breakfast. Who knows? Coming up, This or That.
Warning, if you are over the age of 65 and on Medicare Parts A and B, you must listen to this. Studies show that the average Medicare recipient pays more than $5,000 in out-of-pocket medical expenses each year. What is even worse is that sudden health emergencies can cost $75,000 or more and force thousands of unfortunate Americans into extreme debt and even bankruptcy. There is hope. The solution is SnapMedicare.com. All it takes is a quick phone call to 800-286-5516 to protect yourself and your finances. Call 800-286-5516 to make sure your Medicare plan includes provisions to cover any gap in your coverage. Whether you have questions about Part A or Part B Medicare, remember and rest easy knowing that your medical expenses are being taken care of with SnapMedicare.com. Call 800-286-5516. You and your loved ones deserve peace of mind, and SnapMedicare.com will help you get it. Call 800-286-5516. That's 800-286-5516.
My name is Brian, and I'm 80 years of age. Recently, I was dealing with symptoms of a COVID infection. Initially, I had a fever with chills and a sore throat. Within a short time, the fever subsided, and the sore throat improved, but still lingered. I used several different supplements without success. I then tried Green Meadow Whey, and immediately my sore throat went away. I feel that Green Meadow Whey helped me defeat this COVID infection, and it gives me a noticeable lift in my energy.
Lactoferrin is a naturally occurring nutrient in whey protein. It has been shown to have potent antiviral activity. Lactoferrin binds to a virus, blocking its ability to enter the cell. It also stimulates antiviral interferon production. Green Meadow Whey contains 300 to 600 milligrams of non-denatured lactoferrin per scoop. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or go to greenmeadowway.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
I walk along the avenue. I never thought I'd meet a girl like you. Meet a girl like you. With auburn hair and stormy eyes. The kind of eyes that hypnotize me through. Hypnotize me through.
Away. We have an exciting segment coming up. It's called This or That. Eric, our technical maestro, steps into the ring with me. Hey, Eric, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you, Kate?
I'm pretty good. You know, do you get the Sunday blues? I mean, be honest. Do you feel when Sunday rolls around, woohoo, I've had a decent weekend. Ooh, Sunday, Monday, I got to go to work. How do you feel?
Yeah, I get that a little bit. Mostly because I work like a double, though.
So you're working how many hours?
It's a total of 6.5 or 7. Or I meant, 12 and a half or 13.
Ooh, but then when you get off that 12 and a half or 13, then you've got a clear day after that?
No, it all starts over Monday.
The clock ticks again. I like how you said it all starts over. Yeah. I think there's something in our minds that's psychological about Sunday, and even with the virus, it doesn't matter. It's still the same thing. I mean, whatever it is you do, there is a thing about Sunday. I don't know. There's something about Sunday, and they say there's and listen, I talk about this. There's a switch you can flip, and you know, just say, hey, this is what I get to do. But those are long hours. I would linger on that lunch break. That's for sure. I'd make sure I had a lunch break.
Yeah, you got to eat.
Gotta eat. All right, so how about this? For this or that, this is where we go back and forth and you have a choice between one or the other, and we see where you stand and where I stand. So how about these standalone, speaking of that, conservation wildlife parks that you can drive through versus just going to a zoo? Which do you prefer?
I'll go with the zoo, I guess. That's a tough one.
The zoo. I like that you said it's a tough one. I, this weekend, went through, for people who don't know, put this on your list. There's a place in Glen Rose, Texas, and it's worth it, where, whatever state you're from, if you can make your way to it eventually. It's called Fossil Rim Wildlife Center, and it's an endangered species research and conservation center. And they have 1,000 animals, 50 species, I can really talk tonight. And what's so cool is they have giraffes, they have black bucks. I mean, they have all emus, fallow deer, they have black rhinoceros. Yeah, there's a bunch of them, rhinoceroses. It's so amazing, I have to say. 1,000 acres from 1,000 acres, 1,000 animals, and it's over 1,000 acres. And it was lovely. It was amazing. I had a giraffe. I fed a giraffe and in the car. Like, he walked up to the car and stuck his head in the car. Isn't that cool?
That's awesome. I've never heard of anything like that.
It was awesome. It is a very, very good experience. And plus, it's so good what they're doing there. So I like, you know, I've done the zoo thing, but this is a place that you should put on your radar. Definitely.
And you said endangered species?
Yeah.
Wow.
They have cheetahs. You know, cheetahs can go 75 miles an hour. And it's a long, giant, like, enclosure thing they have for them. Because there, they couldn't let them, I mean, if they roamed over those, you know, 1,000 acres, it would be a disaster, the animals that they would attack. But it's incredible to see them too, and to see I saw the rhinoceroses moving all over the place. There was like 5 of them, and we were really close to them, and you're in your car and you drive through. It's kind of like, you know what it's like, you feel like in a different way, this sounds weird to say, but Jurassic Park.
That's what I was just about to say. It reminds me of the first Jurassic Park.
And it's like that, and it opened in 1984, and it's pretty amazing.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, yes, put that on your list. When you're not working 12 and a half hours a day, then you can go to Fossil Rim. I'll meet you there. It's great. You'll love it. All right, so how about this? Kool-Aid versus Gatorade or Powerade, which would you take? Kool-Aid or the Gatorade or Powerade?
Gatorade, for sure.
Gatorade. Yeah, I'm not a Kool-Aid person either. I mean, maybe when I was 5, forget it now. If the kids in the neighborhood are selling it, maybe I'd buy a cup to help them out. But I like Powerade, like cherry Powerade, because it quenches my thirst.
No, I do like the blue Powerade. Back when, I don't know if McDonald's still offers it, but that's what I would always get when I went to McDonald's. It just goes, the blue Powerade goes great with cheese, like
burgers,
McDoubles. Yeah, McDoubles and fries and all that junk food.
Oh, now you're making me hungry for that. I'll have a McDouble and fries because it's right up there. How many calories is in that? Yeah. Oh, and then put some Powerade in there for me too. You might not know this. The University of Florida researchers initially considered naming, because they came up with it, Gator and then /aid. Then they came up with Gatorade because it started in Florida. And the history of Gatorade is they realized that it was a request from the Florida Gators football coach, Ray Graves, that he needed something to quench the thirst of the athletes to replace the body fluids that they lost with this incredible physical exertion. And that's how they came up with that beverage.
Nice. Yeah, I think I've heard that at one point, but I didn't know it was from Florida. And I wish I knew what magic ingredients in Gatorade, because for some reason it like always replenishes you, you know.
I can tell you what it is. It's water, sodium, sugar, potassium, phosphate, and lemon juice.
Huh.
Crazy,
but
huh?
I feel like a lot of drinks have all those things, you know?
It's something about the way they make it. It's the it's the flavors of it, how they mix it together. And I do agree. I mean, it does quench your thirst. And more than the thirst quencher is the replacements for if you're out there and you're exerting yourself. So that makes sense.
Yep.
All right, there you go. You learn something every day. How about this? You have to do one or the other. Like, you can't back out of it, so you can't walk off the platform. Bungee jumping or rock climbing, which would you take?
I've actually been wanting to get into rock climbing, so I'll go with rock climbing.
Yeah, I go with rock climbing because I did when we went to Oklahoma and the Potato Hills, there was that robber's cave, and we climbed up that. It wasn't bold-face rock climbing, but there was parts of it that were like that. And I don't know that I don't like the idea of jumping off the bungee jumping. I don't like that bouncing back. I think I'd be a little frightened.
When you put it that way, me neither.
Where you just boing, bounce up. I mean, I'm sure it's incredible, the feeling when somebody does it. It's like when people jump out of a plane. But I don't know if that would be for me. All right, fruit cake versus fruit cup with whipped cream. So you're served that, and you have to be polite. You have to take, they tell you, oh, you have a choice. We have this delicious fruit cake for dessert here in the holidays. Or we have a fruit cup with whipped cream. Which do you take?
I'll go with the fruit cup.
Yeah, I hate fruit cake. I don't like the taste of it. Do you?
Yeah, I was going to say, no, I'm not a huge fan. It's, I feel like they're overrated, if that. I don't know.
But fruit cake, like what you're saying, is popular. I mean, there's a zillion fruit cake recipes. There are famous bakeries that make it and make a fortune. Like, they're the world's best fruit cake. And people, so you and I are in the minority. People like dried fruits stuffed in their cake with candied ginger. Ugh. With sugar, butter, apple juice, spices. I don't know. I don't like it.
If there was less fruit and more cake, it would make a little more sense.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a fruitcake then, and I feel like you. I'm the same way. I just don't like fruit jammed into my cake. I'm sorry. I know that makes me, well, good. I have someone else on my side because I always get creamed about that. All right, last one. Doctor versus dentist. Which do you, of the two evils, because no one really likes going to either, which do you prefer?
Oh, that's another really tough one. I'll go with the doctor.
Doctor. Yeah, I go with the doctor, too.
Because at least I could talk, you know.
Oh, I hate the dentist. I do. I hate it. Oh, it's so important, and it's the worst. Oh, and you don't know what they're going to find. Oh, by the way, we found 15 cavities, so let's get some aspirin because we're going to fill them. How do you feel about that? All right, so there you go. Eric, always fun to play this game with you, our little game, This or That. Thank you.
Thank you. Brush your teeth.
Oh, trust me, right after this, I'm going to brush my teeth after this show. I hope everyone else does, too. Hang with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. White House doctors say President Trump is no longer at risk of spreading the coronavirus. In a memo, White House physician Dr. Sean Conley said the president's symptoms have all improved. He'd been fever-free for over 24 hours, and there's no longer evidence of an actively replicating virus, though the White House has not said if the president has tested negative for the virus. With the new report on his health, the president will hit the campaign trail tomorrow. USA Radio Network's Val Dior has the details.
President Trump will host a rally in Central Florida in Sanford at 7 p.m. their time, his first campaign stop since his COVID diagnosis on October 1st. He's promised to make up for lost ground since the virus had him down for over a week. His first event since being released from the hospital was Saturday at the White House, a peaceful protest and a meeting to discuss law and order. For USA Radio News, I'm Val Dior.
This is USA Radio News. In the era of COVID, more and more employers are telling their employees they can work remotely. USA Radio Network's Val Dior has more on one tech giant that's expanding its remote working policies.
Microsoft said on Friday it would allow most of its employees to clock in up to half their weekly working hours remotely, providing greater flexibility even after offices start reopening. The software maker said in a blog post that while returning to office is optional for most employees for now, Microsoft was not committing to having every employee work remotely. The Redmond, Washington-based company had about 163,000 full-time employees as of June.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear and his family are quarantining at home after being exposed to a member of their security detail who tested positive for coronavirus. The trooper drove with the governor on Saturday before finding out about his positive test. Beshear and his family have tested negative so far, but the governor says they've gone into quarantine out of caution. Beshear says he hopes he's setting a good example and keeping others around him safe. This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We had an off-air conversation. It was so fascinating, and what an interesting life he's led. His book is called The People's President, and his name is John Bednar. He joins us now. Hey, John, thanks for popping on.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So that tells everybody nothing of why you're so fascinating, but I think you have led such an interesting life. I'm serious. I was looking you up after we had this conversation. I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's really so fascinating how you got to this point where you did this book and then came back to the book. So explain that to everybody. First of all, what made you write the book?
Well, I guess ever since I was in an undergraduate at Princeton University, I've asked people the following question. And in my entire life, I've only had two people answer yes to the question. And the question is very simple. Do you now or have you ever encouraged your children to become politicians? And the only two people who have answered yes to that question in my entire life are people who are from political families that are involved in politics. And so I've been, been very preoccupied with the political scene in my country since I was very young. And the book came out of my conviction that there's far too much money in politics, that money dominates far too much our political scene, and that we should all stand up as American citizens and do something about that.
And so you weave this novel together based on, is it a little about you? Is there some of you in this book? I have a feeling there is.
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah. I mean, I basically, and of course, I was much younger at that time. I started writing this in 1973 when I was teaching at Berkeley, and so I was a much younger person at that point. But I just sort of said, "Hey, why not? It's fiction. I'll just elect myself president of the United States."
I love that. And the whole idea is, you know, your main character says, I'm not going to spend, you know, any of my own money. I'm not going to accept contributions to run this campaign. You're just going to unleash the beast and go for it. And I don't want to give away the whole story, but what are some of the obstacles that Dr. George Franklin runs into?
Well, he runs into the same obstacles that that any idealist in today's world would run into. And that is the complacency, for lack of a better term, of the general population in the United States. We've just let our guard down. We've forgotten our civic responsibilities. We've let ourselves be influenced by a lot of different factors and have lost our sense of individual responsibility as far as our nation's concerned. So that's kind of what was on my mind, and those are the problems that the guy runs into, and he solves them by just throwing it back in everybody's face and saying, hey, wait a minute, we're responsible for this, folks. We're responsible for the situation that we're in, and we're the only ones who can stand up and do something about it.
And speaking of standing up and doing something about it, I want to reveal this to people. You are running for Congress. Tell us about that.
Yes, I'm running as like the hero of my life. I figured a few years ago that I better just put my money where my mouth is and actually do something. And I am running for the House of Representatives, a seat in Washington, D.C. for District 3 in South Carolina as an independent on a budget of zero, just like my hero. And I've had some very interesting responses to that. I'm hoping that maybe my little message that's in my book, I can have that message heard in District 3 in South Carolina. By the way, District 3 in South Carolina is the district that Lindsey Graham comes from.
Wow, so interesting. I bet that you've kicked up a little bit of dust there for sure, because it's got to be interesting. And it's interesting that your character does this. Now you're imitating that in real life. And the first time when you tackled this and you talked about the 70s, you said the reaction was great to the book.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I had this literary agent who got it all the way to Universal Studios, and they wanted to make a movie out of it at the time, and I still think, by the way, that it would make a very good movie. It's got a lot of stuff in it that Hollywood would probably have a blast with. But they wanted me to change the ending, and I said, nope, not going to do that. Today I might have a different story, but back then I said, nope, I'm not going to change it.
When you know, you're somebody who's you're a teacher. I mean, you bounced around Berkeley, pretty impressive there, but you've bounced around at a couple of other places as well. Do you learn from the students too?
Oh, absolutely. I think the best teachers in the world are the people who do exactly what you just said. Teachers aren't people who need to lecture. There needs to be in one of the conversations we had before, I mentioned to you that, to me, one of the most important words in our entire vocabulary is communication. Communication is very, very important, and so I've believed in that in my entire life, and I think that that's one of the reasons that I enjoy teaching so much.
Yeah, and in it's interesting from the classroom, traversing around the country. Do you find that that's the common denominator as you talk about communication? No matter if you're in Northern California or you're in the South, or you're in South Carolina, or you're in New Jersey at Princeton.
Absolutely, and I want to. I do something that I probably shouldn't do, but I do it anyway, and it's just my own nature. Depending on the person I'm talking to, I have I've lived in Texas, I've lived in Oklahoma, I've lived in Michigan, I've lived in New Jersey, I've lived in California. and now in South Carolina. So I've lived kind of all over the United States, and I I have a tendency, just depending on the person I'm talking to begin to have speech patterns like the person I'm talking to.
That's great. They call that mirroring. I love that.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, people down in South Carolina say y'all all the time. Well, I don't use that in my normal speech, but I'll find myself saying y'all, you know, y'all come.
Right. You mix it in. Again, the book is called The People's President. We're speaking with John Bednar. You can get it on Amazon.com. What do you ultimately hope people take away from reading your novel?
All the things we've been talking about, Kate. I really think that, and like I said before, I have no regrets about being an idealist. I think idealism has its place in our society, and I'm proud of it. And if anything, I just hope that my book sparks a little bit of idealism in the minds of some of those complacent citizens out there who could be doing a much better job of being a citizen.
I like that. I say that all the time on the show. You just start. All politics are local, so get involved. Pay attention to what's happening. So I know you're not going to tell us that, the ending of the story. You're not going to tell us what happens. But Dr. George Franklin, does he get elected? You're not going to tell us.
I'm not going to say. We have to leave that as a cliffhanger. Does the guy win or does he not win? You know, that's part of the whole story.
Yes, so fascinating. Will there be a sequel to this?
You know, I started writing a sequel, and there may be. I'm writing another book right now that I may never finish, about kind of an autobiography. I fell in love with French when I was at Princeton when I was an undergraduate. I was an English major, but I fell in love with French. And then I did 4 years of graduate study in France, and I became totally fluent in French. I've spent 15 years of my life in France, if you want to add up all the time. And the catchy title of this book that have been writing for years and may never finish is My Mistress for More Than 50 Years, and it's the French language.
Wow.
So I'm working on that right now.
Well, you can't tease us like that. You got to, everybody listening across the land, give us a French phrase that we can say. I like French, but I don't know any French. Give us a French saying.
Okay, all right. I will tell you something that I did when I was. I love to teach beginning French, by the way, because one of the things I got from my wonderful experience at Princeton was that, you know, great professors fought to teach freshman courses because they wanted to get the freshmen interested in their specialty. Back in those days, you didn't declare a major until you were a sophomore, and. Teaching beginning French or in a beginning French class, I would teach them how to say, I don't know in French. It's a very simple sentence. I don't know. And it's written I would write it on the board, and then I would look at the class and ask them to pronounce it, and they would all pronounce it very correctly. And the correct pronunciation of the sentence is, je ne sais pas.
Je ne sais pas.
Je ne sais pas. Now,
I like that.
That's not the end of the story. And so each around the room, I would ask all the students to pronounce it, and they would pronounce it very correctly. But I would always say, "No, that's not how it's pronounced," and they would get this puzzled look on their faces. and at the end, when everybody had his chance to pronounce the sentence, I would look at them and I would say, "Here's what the French people say. Here's how the French people pronounce that sentence." And the point I tried to make to them was the difference between the written language and the spoken language. For example, you may remember the shortest sentence in the English. Do you know what the shortest sentence in the English language is?
What is the shortest sentence?
It's jeet.
Jeet?
Yeah. Guy comes home late from work. His wife opens the door, greets him at the door, and says, jeet? And he says, no, would you fix me something?
Oh, you are too funny. You're priceless. John Bednar, The People's President. Pick up this novel. You'll be very entertained. Thanks, John.
Okay, Kelly. Thanks. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Great. DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
I love to get lost in a story, and boy, this is a great story to get lost in. You know, nothing like curling up with a novel. I say that all the time on Author's Corner. My favorite genre is that great escape. Somebody who puts it on paper, comes up with a story, and they have the courage to put it out there. And I'm going to introduce you to Joanne Baker, and her book is called Trapped in Love's Magic Spell. And I like the whole idea of spells and magic anyway, so if it's got that in the title, you know it's going to be good. And it is good because I can attest to that. So, Joanne, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about when you wrote the book and how it came to be.
I had a lot of free time in study hall and when I was a junior in high school, and a teacher told me basically I needed to find something to do, whether it was schoolwork or do something, and I kept trying to tell her I didn't have anything to do because all my homework was done, and, you know, having three classes of English and then music class, you really don't have much homework. So I asked her if I could get some scrappy pieces of paper and started writing it my junior year in high school and 12 years to finish it.
Wow, I love that you had scrappy pieces of paper. So when you were putting these scrap pieces of paper and your thoughts were running all over the place, did you base any characters on any people that you came in contact with?
Actually, there's a lot of people throughout the whole book, that are actually based on real people. You don't meet her until a later book, but Thomas's mother is, her first name is a person that I had to deal with as a boss. Didn't care for her much, but she's in there. Other people have given me sheets of paper with their names and things that they'd like to do. So there are actual people in the books that I've done. So,
and, you know, let's talk about this book. You know, when you look at Trapped in Love's Magic Spell, and as I said, you know, you think about love or magic or, you know, what's it all about, and you talk about the owner of a shipping company, Paw Print, and what happens from there. So tell us about the story.
It's set in the 1700s, 1800s, when women were considered property, and a lot of times different things have, you know, it makes you feel like women were stupid, but women were not stupid. They were a lot of times behind scenes. And with my main female character, she is an heiress, and her parents were both murdered, so there was nobody to, like, take over and run the show, so she stepped up and she did it. And she's used to running the show, and her ship is taken over by what she thinks are pirates. She learns later that they are privateers, and there is a difference. Every country had privateers. Basically, it was to attack enemy ships and take whatever money they could find. But they had papers from their home countries to say that it was okay to attack enemy ships. So, and he's used to running it because it's a man's world, and she's used to running it because there's nobody else to run it. So book one, the ships, is basically the clash between those two. Always.
I like that. Those two always. And you know, you said it. It is book one, the ships. And it, on the cover, it's a great cover because it's those, like, I call them clipper ships. And it does take you back to those times and makes you think of privateering as you explained it. Was it fun to get lost in the story?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things when you're writing, things kind of take on the life of their own, and you just kind of put it out there. You're just following where it goes. It's not really, you know, anything overly special. You just follow where the characters kind of want to go and where they lead. So a good writer lets the story just kind of flow through them and let their story and characters kind of lead where they want to. Because I think if you had, you know, too much fighting your characters or whatever, I think you'd be at odds, and I think readers would pick up on the odds between yourself and the characters and whatnot. So it's good to let the story just kind of flow and go where it wants to.
I like that. So, Anne, you set out in your mind how Anne was, and do you like Anne?
Yeah. She's got spunk, and she... A lot of my problem was I was reading novels where the female character was kind of a wussy little thing. And I can't imagine every woman being like that. So I was trying to develop a strong character that was independent and, you know, what would happen if, like, a female character didn't have the sheltered life or protection of everybody else. So it was not really a Joan of Arc thing, but it was, you know, more of a stronger character. You know, like, she doesn't have family members or whatever to lean on. It's up to her to make decisions and make things work. And her father being a working gentleman, like I say, she inherited everything, so it was kind of a figure out what I can do. So she had to become a strong character. And if she wanted to do this, she decided that it was important to learn how to take care of herself. So,
yeah. And she does that.
For most of her life, she dressed as a boy to try to learn and figure out things and, you know, be taught how to actually basically survive. So.
And she does it. That's what I was saying. She figures it out, which is what the really cool thing is about the, about Trapped in Love's magic spell, book one, the ships. What do you hope happens? You heard my intro where I talk about I love getting lost in novels, and I think you've done that, and I love that you're telling everyone who's listening to this that you let the characters just take you where they go, and good writers do that. What do you hope people take away from reading your books?
There's a lot to be taken out. Some of it, you know, be a strong person, know who you are yourself. And, you know, anybody can, even though you're considered, you know, like less than, you ought to be able to, like, figure out your own way and things and do your own thing and make your own way. But also, like, more of towards, like, Thomas's character, things are not always what they seem. So be open to things and be open to change and accept different aspects of the world and the beauty that is in the world, you know, for what it is, and don't be so jaded against life that everything is the same, because not everything is entirely always the same.
Yeah. So now you, if you take us through, you know, the ships, what comes next? How many more books?
Well, I have book two all done. It's His Manor part one. There'll be a manor, His Manor part two. It's takes place in England. It's about 2 weeks for each manor house, part one and part two. And then there's getting to her manor and then the final battle with the protagonist that's through the whole book, which is not the two main characters. It's a separate person altogether. She actually goes to war against him. So she, you know, does that. So
fun. And it, this has to be fun for you because you have a job where you really care for people. I mean, you're in an industry that people need you, you know, helping older people and sick people. And for you, this is got to be really fun and rewarding to also be able to have that side of you explored and opened up.
Yeah. It's been an experience, a learning experience with everything. I've gone from, like, not having anything to having very, very little done to now possibly getting the help that it needs and getting the word out there. And at this point, I just want to get my book out there so people can enjoy the story, because anybody that has read the book has actually liked the book, and I've had people go, "Where's book two?"
Well, that's the best compliment ever, and it's the perfect place to end this. Pick this book up. You will escape. You will love it. Trapped in Love's Magic Spell, book one, The Ships. Joanne Baker, thank you so much for coming on.
Not a problem. Thank you again for having me.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Remember, we're all in it together. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Howdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.